our society, allow the spiritual realm to be manifested through the natural beings of our flesh that we walk as Christians need to walk this week, that we minister to someone this week. Lord God, we need to be fed that we may feed others. So we yield to you today, Father God. Send into us that rhema word that will cause life to come through our bosom this week. In Jesus' name, the people of God say amen and amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Do y'all feel a breaking? Telling you, and it's so wild because we come in here with such a heavy heart thinking that our problems are so big. And I love when events occur in our lives to keep us humble, to let us know that that little thing that you were so stressed out about this week is minute compared to some of the things somebody else is going through. And I'm going to tell you, you want victory in your situation? Start praying for somebody else's situation and stop praying for yours. Hallelujah. Turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. God, I see it. I get happy when I see it. I don't get happy when it manifested as much as I get happy when I see it. Do you understand what I mean? Everybody else get happy when it comes to the natural realm. I get happy when it transfers from the spiritual realm to the natural realm, but it has not finished yet. That's when I get happy. It's like you hear it, and that's why I understand when the scripture said, how does scripture go about look to the hills? Look to the hills. Where is the hills at? That's up. So what it's telling you, stop looking at when it get here. If you look into the hill which cometh your help, you can see when it comes from the spiritual realm into the natural realm, that's when you're supposed to get excited. See, too many of us are waiting. I ain't waiting no more. I'm looking to the hills which come in my help because my help comes from the Lord. I want to see when it's transformed from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. I want to see when they enter into the atmosphere. It's like when they come back with the discovery and all them come back, when they always looking up to see the appearing of it. They know it's going to come. They don't wait till when it landed. They say, there it comes. Who is coming? It's coming. They get excited when they see it. Hallelujah. Any of y'all excited about when you just first see it appearing? That's where I'm at with this. That's when I get excited. Hallelujah. Healing has already been manifested. Tell your neighbor, it is finished. It is done. I don't care what the doctor report is. I do not have to wait until the doctor releases him from the hospital. It's already done. So now I don't have to worry about it. I just get excited because I see it coming from the hill. Hallelujah! Now I can go tell the family, I know what the doctor said, but my God is coming because I've seen him moving in the hills. He's just working his way down the valley to you. So don't worry about it. My God, if he appears upon the scene, all his enemies got to disappear. Sickness got to disappear. Hallelujah. There's a reason why. Oh, I woke up. I'm excited. Y'all don't understand. I'm excited. Because let me express to you why I get excited. Because the devil think that he won. But because he's the prince of the air, when he appears in the air with your blessing, that's when he gets so mad because he's in his territory.
He's where he lives, and he's got to go through where he lives to get to you. And the devil know he can't stop him when he appears in the hills, because so he gets really mad. There go God. Look at Jesus bringing him another blessing. That's what I like. At that point of time, not only do you see victory, he knows he's defeated. Hallelujah. Let me go preach this, teach this today. I'm still dealing with becoming a better bodier, a better brethren, a better person in Jesus Christ. We dealt with all being a part of one body, one all members. We dealt with last week. What we dealt with last week? Our ways of thinking, changing our ways of thinking. Stop trying to cut off bad spots of our body. And so we need every part of our body. Today, I'm going to deal with the love-hate relationship of you with other saints inside the body of Christ with you. God, can I get honesty out of you for a minute? Sometimes we don't like folks in church, don't we? That was a nice way of saying it, wasn't it? You really can't stand something. If I go told you that you only can talk to a certain person for the next 2 weeks, and you only can pray with that certain person for the next 2 weeks, and I pair you with somebody that you hate, you will be so upset with me. Y'all want to know something? I know that to be true for a fact. Y'all want to know why? I try to team up some of the women with other women that they didn't like. Good gosh, I ain't never had so many people call me, text me. Why? I'd rather have this one in my group. They was trying to do it the nice way. We friends. I knew all of that before I put y'all together. I know Click Cruise when I see it. Well, we don't gel. We don't mesh together. No, I really wanted somebody. And somebody was dishonest, and I love that person because honestly, I don't like them. And then y'all know I'm using the properly word for what should be. I hate them. My problem is, how can I get away, Sister Sheila, with hating a part of my body and be successful? Let me ask, all of y'all have a feature on you that you are ashamed of, right? Some of y'all really don't hate it, but you self-conscious of it, right? On your body. When you become self-conscious of a part of your body, I'm still using polite words, right? Or you hate a part of your body, you have a tendency to hide that constantly. At the level when you get around folks, you would never reveal it. Y'all know what I do? I hate my feet. Can't stand my feet. They the ugliest feet in the world. Telling y'all. And the bad part about it, my daddy got the prettiest feet for any man I ever seen. Them things are gorgeous. Soft, gorgeous, toenails beautiful. I took my mama's feet. Believe it or not. They dry, the nails are all, they hard. Darryl got pretty feet. He don't even use his. He could have had mine. He always got them in boots. Can I get out my hate of my feet? Can't stand them. Nails is all ugly, toes is big. Look at my thumb, how big it is. Feet same way. And in the wintertime, they flake up, dry up. I got a bottle of oil and a bottle of foot cream. Be working them. Can't stand these feet. What do I wear more than anything? Flip-flops. Why? I'm not ashamed of every part of my being. So what I have learned to do, I learned to use what I have and stop being ashamed of them. That's where they make foot people. All that, what do you want to get done? I got my own. I walk up in there, I shut down the place. Don't have to tell her what I want. She already knows. Learned that from my cousin. I didn't have a problem getting feet done. My cousin had Gerald, so he got bad feet too. And Lawrence, they say they get the feet done and it's good. Look at the foot. I looked at the foot. He had the same type of his. Look way better than mine's. I learned from somebody else that you got to take care of the parts of the body that you hate the most. And don't be ashamed of them. Most of y'all don't even know that because y'all see me with what? Flip-flops all the time. I go there every 2 weeks. It's a ritual for me. Don't want none of y'all to bother me. I started to change places because I seen folks coming in that I know. Don't want you to bother me. It's my time. Me, my feet, and my foot person. My whole thing is this. If we would take that concept in the body of Christ with a piece or a person that or a part of the body of Christ that we are ashamed of or that giving us the most trouble, that person would improve to a point where we'll stop being ashamed of them. I have a reason for everything I say. But what we do, we want to get rid of them. Don't want to be bothered with them. I cannot get rid of my feet, and I do not have a luxury anymore of not taking care of them. Because if you don't take care of your feet, what did I do? I stand. I preach. Got to take care of them. Come to the place that I want to deal with loving those who you hate. Hallelujah. How can I justify hating my brother if I am a part of the same body? Y'all notice my teaching has switched to dealing with internal things within you to get us to be one body and one unit? Huh? Number one, we need to have wisdom when we're dealing with people that we hate. I want to say don't like, but can I be honest? We all agree we hate them, right? It's a strong word, ain't it? It's a strong word. I know it's a strong word, but let's just cut the snake off at the head. Let's just talk about it just like it is. Everybody looking at everybody, how about, do this person hate me? This person hate me? Listen. If inside Romans, the 12th chapter, the ninth, we're going to go down the ninth on down. After he dealt with the individual presenting their body, after he dealt with people individually not thinking of self more highly than they ought to, after he dealt with all of us being part of the one body, he went into the movement of spiritual gifts, prophecy, ministry, and all of this stuff. Then when it tripped me out, he dealt with the outward appearance of us using the body. Then he went back internal and back into each individual and say, yeah, all of this stuff would occur beautifully, but you got to deal with this first. Number one is you need to have wisdom in dealing with people that you don't like or hate. If that's the case, I have to distinguish whether I really do hate them or not. Because this word hate is based on one thing. Is that person my enemy? A lot of us say, I love the person, but I hate their ways. Their ways is them. You cannot love somebody and hate their ways. Because the ways is the makeup or the nature of that individual. So if you hate their ways, you actually hate them. You just trying to pretty it up. But I can't hate him because the scripture clearly declares if I hate him, then he's my enemy. Inside Genesis, he said, I will put enmity between woman and the devil, her seed and the devil's seed. doing that, I put hatred. I cause them to be enemies. If I'm your brother, there's no way that I'm on the other side, so I'm not your enemy. You have no luxury of hating me. The only one that he is allowing us to hate is the devil and the devil's seeds, not people. Only the spiritual seeds of the devil. So now we have no excuse of hating anyone in the body of Christ or the world. Ouch. Let me finish this up quickly. Hate, to feel intense or passionate dislike for someone. This feeling derives from fear, anger, or a sense of injury. In other words, you hate Mike Jones because you fear Mike Jones. What are you fearing? You're fearing even what he can do to you. You hate Mike Jones because Mike Jones did something to you. He caused injury to occur in your life some way, somehow. Now, this is the crazy part about it. The scripture wants us to go beyond the world. Now I am lowering me down to Mike Jones. Now Mike Jones become my opponent, my opposition. The devil is no longer your opposition when you hate or dislike somebody. They become your opposition or your opponent in your Christian walk. Now you're basing your whole game on what they do. You're getting a playbook of how to handle them instead of giving God the glory. Now they're consuming your time and your day. You can say it out of your mouth that they're irrelevant, but your actions are speaking louder than words. Now instead of loving God, you wake up in the morning thinking about Mike Jones. Instead of giving him praise, you giving Mike Jones all of your attention. You texting him, I can't stand you. You texting other folks, he get on my last nerve. You looking at everything he do so you can just pick it apart instead of looking at God and loving him. So now your whole relationship that based inside the kingdom of God on giving him glory is no longer being performed. Your whole relationship now is giving him glory. When you show him attention, you are giving him glory. You cannot be in the body of Christ and be successful hating someone in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, this is rough, but it's tough. Hate, you think of them as a threat. So usually someone who is your enemy, someone that you hate, they becomes a threat to you. You have a tendency to focus on them a lot, that now they're your opponent, and now your job is solely to compete against them. Woo! That's crazy. That's crazy. So now your job, and this was happening in church. Y'all ready? I want to outshine him. Now, if that's happening here with me and Mike Jones, and it's happening with Tawana against Jareen, and if it happened with Mish against Dora, and if it happened with Elder Gloria against Nakia, everybody is in competition with everybody. Where is God in it? Then you wonder why the church is dying. If he's supposed to be the center of joy in everything we're doing, it's no longer that way. We think that our one little hatred towards somebody is irrelevant, but it is not. Because it become a cancer. So if I hate you, Mike Jones, I'm saying that you are my opponent. And me and you are equal. We're on the same level. So now, if I'm supposed to be holy and righteous and just say that you're not, I'm just saying that you're not. If I show you so much attention, my holy and righteousness or the level where I was has now been diminished because now I'm down on your level. So if you do something to me that is ungodly and I respond to that by doing something to you that is ungodly, I done took myself out of the place where God wants me to be down to your level. I am now out of holiness and into the righteousness that you are. It does not matter who hit who first, who did what first. If I stoop down to hate you, if you hate me, then me and you are on an equal or level playing field that I'm now out of the will of God. I am not going to allow no individual to carry me away from my place in God, my blessings in God. And that's what's happening inside the church. We are losing our blessings because we are allowing people to drag us down. I know. Y'all want me to preach something happy. I can't though. We are not on the same level. I need to start thinking and change my way of thinking to say simply this. When Mike Jones says something about me, he's not even worthy of my response to what he said. But whatever, he's not even worthy, and anybody else that want to be on that level is not worthy of my time to give him recognition for what he had said. Whether it's a truth or a lie, I got to get to the place that it does not matter. Got to get to the place where I really don't care. Don't say it. But my heart just don't care. Let me ask all of y'all a question here. Do you really understand what was the cross movement was truly about? Do you understand when he was on the cross and they was throwing all that stuff at him? Do you understand the powerfulness of him not saying a word? Do you really, really comprehend when he opened his mouth and said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, how that unleashed the love movement that we are supposed to portray in the body of Christ? If anybody talks about you, you have to forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing. They are at a level so much beneath you where they're causing destruction to come on their own self that you got to be transformed over from somebody that hating them to somebody that feels sorry for them. My gosh, do you know, Mike Jones, by you doing what you're doing, that you done violated so many scriptures? Do you know that you done caused hell and damnation to come in your life that God cannot bless you because you done bit the hand that fed you? You done all of this against somebody that is a child of God. You done curse yourself. Why shouldn't I want to just say, Mike Jones, please, I love you. If anything I've done to offend you, I'm sorry. Because I cannot make it without him being successful. My goal is not to cut him off, but to embrace him and bring him back, to restore him. But if I hate him, and I put myself at the same level that he is, there's no way in my heart that I want to do that. I'm only going to do it because the words say so. And if I don't do it from my heart, it don't make a difference how much I say out of my mouth. It will not take hold unless my heart truly wants to do it. So now we're dealing with a church just doing it by words only and not from the heart. Because, contrary to what you may say, your heart hates me. And you really don't want to see me successful. That's why it's so easy for folks to talk about people in church. Because they really don't want to see you to be successful. But if you don't want to see me successful, knowing that my job is to help you, then I have to think about this. Okay. You don't want to see me successful, but in order for you to be successful, I have to succeed. Then you really don't succeed. So guess what? My whole thinking got to change from you really don't understand what you're doing. Let me finish this. Y'all don't want this, but that's okay. In the scripture, from 12:9 on. Who going to read? Can somebody grab a mic and read for me? God dealt with the love-hate relationship. Watch how he deals with this. And I love God. I really love the way his scriptures deal with things. It's the white one. Let's go.
Romans 12:9.
Yep.
Let love be without dissimulation.
Let love be sincere and genuine. Come on.
Abhor that which is evil.
Dislike which is evil. Come on.
Cleave to that which is good.
And cleave to what is good. How can I determine which is evil and which good, what to cleave to and what to go away from when you all want? All of this is coming from Mike Jones. There is good in him. His evil intent is in him. How can I separate and cleave to that which is good and get rid of that which is evil? His intentions that is evil from that which is good. We do not know how to separate individuals and from the devil that's working in that individual. In order to really show forth love, you got to be able to separate Sister Gloria from the action that the devil used her to do to cause you hurt. That takes maturity. And a lot of us are not at that level because we don't read the word to understand that the devil needs a vessel to use. We don't understand that if the devil's using that vessel, that person is weak in some area. And if he's being used by the devil, then I really need to pray for him that he not be used for him ever again. We don't understand. You know why we don't understand? Because we don't reflect our past. Oh, so was you without the devil using you? Oh, so you was one of those elite ones that the devil has never used.
That's right.
He never opened your mouth and did something you regretted it afterwards. Oh, so you at that level of anointing and power? If you understand that you was used one time out of your life by the devil, you have no reason to look at anybody else being used by the devil at all. That's what he means by all sin are equal or the same in the sight of God. That's what he means by that scripture. All sin are equal or the same. I don't care if you did it 20, I did it 20 years ago. It don't matter. Well, I'm different now. And he will be different 20 years from today. If you truly love the individual, you learn to separate them. Next one. Let's go, Monty. Get it together.
Verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love.
Ho! You have to love. That's why. Can I stick this one in the rear? Can I stick? That's why the church is dying. That's why the church is. Read that scripture one more time.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly
hold
love.
Well, what kind of love?
Brotherly
that's
love.
That's why the church died. Because we think it's a hookup central. Think just because I go talk to Jarene, I want her. No, I want my sister. That's my sister. That's my sister. And that's why Mike Jones don't get upset if she sees him and see her in my office because he knows that's my sister. And only pervertedness is going to be. That's my sister. And immaturity is what two. I'm trying to. When you immature, or you don't know, and that do happen inside the body of Christ as babes, you look at your sisters wrongly. See, some of y'all too holy. Y'all don't understand. That happens when you're a kid to a certain degree. But when you're grown, you care about them differently, and you want to see the best of them as your brother or your sister. Let's go.
In honor, preferring one another.
Hold on. Read that all again.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love.
Uh-huh.
In honor, preferring one another.
And you have to give honor to that person. Stop trying to honor and glorify yourself. Start boosting them up. Give them honor. You know what? Sister Mitch really did cook that macaroni cheese. Nasty. Really good today. Go on, Mitch. You work that macaroni cheese. Woo, my. She really did work that macaroni cheese. I said worked. Nah, I'm just playing. You have to learn how to boost and honor the people next to you. If you want honor back, start giving people kudos. Start loving them. Start boosting them up. Let's go.
Not slothful in business.
Oh, gosh, I love the scriptures.
Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Say that again, please.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Say that one more time.
Not slothful in business.
Do y'all understand what's your business of being saved? Why is we talking in the book of Romans, which is to the church, about business? Do you know that your business, once you become saved, is to win souls unto Christ? Do you know we are slothful in this ministry of bringing souls unto Christ? You have one job on that level, is to win souls unto Christ, and the second one is to give him glory. And in this ministry, y'all slothful in both, because at 11 o'clock, y'all should be fervent about giving him praise, and y'all wait till 11:37 in order to give him one heartfelt hallelujah. That's slothful. Hallelujah. You slow for getting here? Slow for doing the things that he asked you to do? To him, he runs or functions the ministry as a business. And I think that that's been lost inside the church realm. It's a business of winning souls. That's why he went and obtained his disciples as businessmen. Because they understood the concept that this is a business of winning souls. I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. Your job is to win souls on your job. Your job is to win souls in your house. Your job is to win souls wherever you go. That's your job. And when you're a business owner, you are never off. You're always on duty. Ah. Let's go.
Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
Uh-huh, keep on.
Distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality.
You gotta distribute to the necessity of the saints. You see somebody in need, you got to give to them. And it ain't about the money. Mm-hmm. Everybody think the money's the answer to all prayers. It ain't about the money. Folks need knowledge. Let's go.
Bless them which persecute you.
God.
Bless and not curse.
Woo! Let's read that one more time.
Bless them which persecute you. Bless and not curse.
Hold on. I want y'all to stop and look at this. Why did he say it like this? Bless them that persecute you. He should have left it right there, right? But do what he say. Let me put an emphasis on what I'm trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. Bless them. Yeah. And in case you don't understand what I mean, let me give you the opposite of this. Do not curse them. Let's go.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep.
Let's go.
Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condensed to men of low estate. Be not
Don't run and get on the bandwagon of those that are doing well. Go jump on the bandwagon of those that are not. Let's go. Come on. I want to finish this. I'm already behind time. Y'all got me behind.
Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil.
Ha! I'm going to get you. Do not reward me. Do not give me payment for what I have done to you. The same thing I've done to you. Don't talk about me because I talked about you. Keep on, please.
provide things honest in the sight of all men.
Oh, whenever you do it honestly in the sight of all men. Don't be double-minded. One way in front of everybody, then get behind and talk about them like a dog. I want to bless you. God told me bless you. Now, see, I had to go give her that. I'm getting sick and tired. I have to always give her that. Every time I turn around, she always doing this, that. She always running to the altar. You just done curse yourself. Let's go.
If it be possible.
Oh, I love this. My favorite part. This is my favorite part. This is for those that don't know how to deal with this at the level where it is. Come on. Slow me down on this one, please.
If it be possible.
If it be possible. So that means that it may not be possible for everybody right now. Let's go.
As much as lieth in you.
As much as is inside of you. So all of us are on different levels of this right now. Some of us ain't got it in us. Come on.
Live peaceably with all men.
Live peacefully with some of us just in here just can't get it together. Right now. It ain't in me to forgive Mike Jones right now. Yay! I'm not going to do no harm to him. I'm not going to retaliate what he said, but I don't want to hold his hand when it come prayer time. Let me break this down a little bit more plainer, because y'all gotta understand this. Because I'm tired of everybody thinking that you got to be bunned up with everybody up in the ministry. I don't have to be bunned up with you not to want the worst thing for you. I can pray for you, but don't want you in my inner circle. Let me help us out here. Woo! If it be possible, my perfect will is for you to bring him back. Hold him, caress him, and be there with him. But if it's going to cause you to fail again and again, learn to separate yourself from him, but don't do him any harm. If he's in trouble, pray from him from a distance. Don't go up in his face. So now, for those can't get rights, there's still no excuses for you to talk about somebody else. Even though you working on it, I'm a babe, I'm not there yet. There's still no excuse for you to keep on sowing discord. So, it's best for you to stay in your little corner and keep your mouth quiet. And that was brewing on the inside of you. You keep on working on that. I love God. There's no excuse for you not coming to church and blaming somebody. That's not what the scripture says. It says don't you be bunned up with, close to, next to. Don't invite them in your inner circle. Don't invite them over for dinner and try to make something or put a square peg in a round hole, because you're going to get frustrated and then you're going to leave. I love the word. Don't y'all love the word? You know why people don't preach and teach the word correctly? Because they're scared of what the word's saying. Because the word always deal with every individual at the level where they is. And we don't want to talk about the totality of the word because we're afraid people are going to run with things and say, I can do this. What I tell everybody, and this is what I'm telling you, if you want to take the scripture that I'm saying, if you want to twist the words that I'm saying to suit you walking around hating folks, then guess what? The word is now in your court. You will die by your thinking. What this thing says to me is that we're all on different levels and we're all growing. And there's no excuse that you can't do it, because you will eventually get to the place where you can bite them over. But if you're not there right now, you stick over here, Mike Jones, with digging Joe, and just stay away from my house. All right? Did we finish it yet, Sister Monica?
Verse 19.
Go ahead, yeah.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath.
If you go ahead and avenge yourself, you are giving place for wrath to multiply on the innermost being of your body. And where wrath is, love cannot abide. Let's go.
For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.
What if God don't repay? because I think we all look for God to repay. What if God chooses not? Because I love this scripture, because we take this scripture and throw it out of context. He said, vengeance is mine. In other words, I decide whether I take vengeance or not. What if God decided not to take vengeance on somebody? What if he put through a process and he found you at fault and not the person? But you want him to avenge them, now you mad when they are blessed more, and you feel like God is not doing his job. So you're going to take matters in your own hand. Do y'all understand God knows the total, the complete story? Do you know God knows a man's heart? And if he didn't intentionally, maliciously wound you, and it was an accident, you know God do not hold him accountable to that. So what God is trying to say is, allow me to handle the situation. If vengeance need to be taken, I'll take it, not you, because you don't know the whole story. Ouch. Let's read on so I can go home.
For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him.
Huh? If what? That is the one you hate. Can't stand. I'm hungry. I can't stand her. But yet I gotta feed her. And y'all think it's food, right? All of y'all think it's food, right? The spiritual man does not feast off of food. It feasts off of love. It feasts off of prayer. It feasts off of joy. It feasts off of the praises of God. So if my enemy is not walking around spiritually like they need to be, they are hungry, then I'm supposed to give them what they need spiritually in order for them to survive. That's why the church dying. Because you don't want to give them. Because you really want them to what? Next one, so I can go home.
If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Woo! Hold up. Say it again. Hit that one.
For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
On who head? By me doing this, the coals of fire that's on his head is what they spoke about inside Isaiah. When Isaiah said, Lord, I'm not worthy enough to go. And he seen him reach down and grab coals out the fire and put it in his what? Mouth. In other words, what he's saying is if you show love, if you feed them, if you give them what they're thirsting for, it's like putting a hot thing of coals on their head where their mind is possessed and where all the problems and complications are. And so by you doing that, it will separate the bad and burn off the bad in them, and then they will be purified in their mind and to become a better person. It's only done by when you love them and you help them and you give them and you take care of them. That's the only way they will change. You being nasty and funky back will not cause a change in their lives. Hallelujah. Come on.
But not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Love the word. That's the importance of it. We've been messing up, avoiding them, rolling our eyes at them, huffing and puffing underneath our skins. Guess what? That's why they're not changing. I got to love them. I got to be there for them. At the end. What did one disciple or one person said when Jesus Christ did not respond to them as they wanted him to? Do anybody in here that is a Bible scholar, can you tell me what they said? This man is, or truly was, a what? Son of God. At the end, the acknowledgement of him was placed through because of the love that he showed towards everybody by the words that he spoke out of his mouth, out of his heart through his mouth. He did it because of love. God so loved the world, he sent it on his begotten son. His only begotten son died on the cross in love to save humanity. All of that is done in love. When you do it in love, at the end, they're going to say you truly was a man or woman of God. Their mindset changes off of what you or your reaction to their actions. All of us need to turn in our self-proclaimed Christian cards. Y'all know what a self-proclaimed Christian card is? Is what you use to get out of your troubles and situation. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. You know, the prayer that you, Lord, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. You need to turn them in because you don't use it totally. You only use it when it's convenient for you. To be a true Christian, you don't have to broadcast it. It automatically functions out of your being. The dilemma between love and hate is truly this. No dilemma. I can't hate. I gotta love. Only thing that I'm allowed to hate is the devil and his workers, which is the devil's servants, which is still spiritually is the devil's foot soldiers. I cannot hate any individual, whether they are saved or unsaved. Wow! That boss on your job, you can't hate him. Well, he ain't saved. It doesn't matter. That ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, or that daddy, baby daddy, you can't hate him anymore because you heard the word. I don't care what he have done to you. How much he didn't pay. You can't change it. You can't be nasty no more. You can't withhold anymore. It cannot be done. Because if you keep on doing it, he'll never change. And our overall goal should be the changing of individuals' lives. Tough word, wasn't it? Hard word to swallow, wasn't it? That's meat. That's a steak. That's a straight up sirloin. It wasn't even a filet mignon tender. I know that one was tough. But it's okay, y'all. Because this year, in order for us to prosper, our soul have to prosper. So I have to preach more soul prospering messages. And it ain't about you getting happy and jumping up and down anymore. It's about your mindset changing and about your attitude changing. So I'm going to recommend something to every individual in here. Get a good night's sleep the day before church so you won't fall asleep in my teaching in church. Because if you lay in here and go to sleep, you're still accountable for what I said. I'm tired. I'm telling y'all. I am sick and tired of having church the norm. I want a church that is strong, that people start living the way God is, and dancing and singing and jumping over pews and say we had a good time and not know what the pastor preached about is no longer allowed in this ministry. You want to come to Wednesday night? I'm going to bring Wednesday night to you because I'm tired. I'm not getting sleep. I'm tired of seeing my people who I love going through so much. And we running. We are running. You don't know why we run? Because we can't handle it. You know why we can't handle it? Because we don't have the tools. So my job is to give you the tools that you be able to stand and fight.
Father God, we'd like to thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to just be here, to hear your word, to gain revelation, to understand that which you need us to have to be successful Christians into your walk. Continue to look over, guide us, and lead us into our future that we may obtain the destiny that you have purposed into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.